Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, intern Hanley here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have Seth Emerson from The Athletic coming up at 7:30. Interesting day down there in Destin with the SEC coaches getting together. As far as I know, Joe, no fists thrown. Nothing really all that bad happened, I guess.
But no Jimbo talking.
Yeah, there was that.
Come on, Jimbo.
Run out of words to say.
Do you think, now the question is, was he muted by Greg Sankey, or did he just decide he didn't want to talk?
I don't know, but Lane Kiffin talked. And
oh, yeah.
Anytime Lane Kiffin talks, it's usually pretty good. We'll get into that a little bit more coming up at 7:15 and at 7:30 with Seth Emerson as well. You've got a question you want to throw out there for Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Relates to college baseball.
The Vanderbilt fan right now.
Okay.
Okay. So, this is your either or, okay? And obviously, there's a lot of things that could happen in this tournament that's about to start. But if you could, here's the two options. Vanderbilt's wiped out this weekend. Tennessee makes it to Omaha but does not win at all.
Okay.
Or Vanderbilt makes a run, wins this weekend, wins a super, makes a somewhat, you know, surprising, dramatic run to Omaha, and Tennessee wins it all.
Mm. I like that. I think I know the way that most Vanderbilt fans are going to answer that question, but I like it.
Yeah, it may not be as much a dilemma as I'd like it to be, because I think ultimately most will say, as long as Tennessee does not win a national championship, I'm good.
Yeah.
But to me, I think you can make a case, another trip to Omaha, it's nothing to take for granted.
No.
You know? And for this team to make a run to Omaha, you could argue, yeah, Tennessee now would have a case as the best team ever, one of the best teams ever for sure. If they win it all, they will be discussed in that way. But even in that year, you got to Omaha, building toward maybe your own run next year with this very young team. See, yep. That's my case for that side. But yeah, it may not be the. I feel like Vanderbilt fans are very invested in Tennessee. Flopping on this.
They are certainly invested in that. But, I mean, what's better for your program in the long run? Making a run this year or getting bounced early? Now, does it make that big of a difference at the end of the day? Maybe not. I don't know. But my guess is most Vanderbilt fans will say, nah, just kick us out.
Yeah.
If it's not going to be a national title, I don't care anyway, and get Tennessee out of there.
But just remember, this also means you're out. So you're done as of this weekend. No more Vanderbilt baseball. And you still have weeks of watching Tennessee win.
Yep.
So you got to remember that, too.
Well, you just said they wouldn't win the title. Like, they could get to the title series.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they're not ultimately going to win it. So ultimately, you, as a Vanderbilt fan, will be pleased and very gratified to see them not win. But you would still for sure have to suffer through them winning this weekend and then suffer through them winning the Supers. And then who knows exactly what happens in Omaha. Like you said, they could bring it all the way to the final game of the final series and lose. And I guess maybe you'd like that better, because then it would be the ultimate, like, it's so close. Well, like Vanderbilt was last year,
yeah.
Right? Getting to the last game. But that would be a couple weeks that would be very not enjoyable for the Vanderbilt fans. So I'm just, you know, you got to keep that in mind too.
Let us know your thoughts. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. So where do you see this rivalry going from here? Tennessee, they won all four against Vanderbilt this year. I mean, I guess they could see each other again somewhere down the line here, but probably not. But we'll see what happens on that front. Where do you see this rivalry going from here? We just threw out the question and the choice is yours. Obviously, to your point, Tennessee fans and Vanderbilt fans really don't like each other. And Vanderbilt fans in particular, they're looking at this recent run of success for Tennessee and being like, okay, really? Now y'all care about baseball and all this other stuff? We've talked about that here on the show before. Where do you see this going now with these two programs, these two head coaches, and these two fan bases here in our state?
Well, I think it's going to be great. You know, I mean, I think it's going to be year after year, highly anticipated meeting, and I think you're going to be talking about contenders for almost Omaha, you know, both sides. I mean, for a long time, Vanderbilt was where it was, right around the top of college baseball, and Tennessee trying to find a coach. And yeah, look, I mean, the fan base probably not caring much about baseball, but how much did Vanderbilt fans care about baseball in 2002, you know, before Corbin did what he did? I mean, people follow a winner. So I think it'll be really good. I think right now Tony Vitello is really leaning in on the, you know, we're the, you know, like the established powers. He kind of makes these comments sometimes. Well, maybe someday we can measure up with these, you know, with these established programs.
Have you noticed that he never really says Vanderbilt in interviews either? I forget who pointed this out a couple weeks ago. I think it was either Gentry or Mike Wilson.
I don't think
like
he says Corbin's name either.
Yeah, he just kind of ignores it.
Yeah.
Which I like. Spice up the rivalry any way you can.
Well, and I wonder if that's along the lines of like Woody Hayes would only call Michigan that team up north and, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But, yeah, that is interesting. You know, right now, again, he's full on Rodney Dangerfield and Caddyshack. And, you know, I hate to apply Ted Knight to Tim Corbin. That's probably unfair. Yeah. Well, we're waiting. You know, like it's, yeah. But it's old money, new money. It's the establishment versus like the wacky, lovable, you know, dude with Journey playing in his golf bag. You know, I mean, that's, but soon enough, you know, Tony Vitello and Tennessee are going to be one of those established programs. So the way they're recruiting, you know, what they're going to do building off this, the way obviously he evaluates players, the way, you know, Frank Anderson develops pitchers. I mean, they are set up. And then now the facilities are coming. I mean, they're not to mention, I mean, there's a collective over there that probably be pretty nice for some baseball players for the Vols too. So, I mean, they're set up to be really good here as long as they can keep Vitello. So they pretty soon it'll just be like Ted Knight and then Vitello will be like the priest who golfs with him or whatever, you know. And you have seen the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. All right. I don't know. Who's Ted Knight's buddy in Caddyshack?
Do what?
Like, who's his buddy? Like, I guess like he golfs with the priest.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Go on the boat together. but right now, yeah, you know, Vitello
is sound effects by you, by the way.
Thank
it's good
you,
stuff.
Thank you. It's another award-winning segment. But you know, right now, Vitello is totally leaning in on, you know, on that. We're breaking up the party.
Oh, yeah.
We're the outsiders. It's not going to be. You can't do it for too much longer. And especially if you end up winning this thing, and now it's like, did you just coach the greatest baseball team? But greatest college baseball team ever. And where would they rank among the greatest teams ever, sports teams ever in the state if they finished the job? I mean, they have 53-7 going to the tournament.
It's pretty absurd what they've been able to do. Chris on the text line says, I don't have a rooting interest either way. I just can't stand that shade of orange. I'm a Big 12 guy who hates Texas and that shade of orange, but Tennessee is getting close to that level of hatred. How do we think the casual college baseball fan feels about Tennessee? Do they like them? Do they not like them?
That's
interesting.
See, the casual. See, so to me, that means someone
outside the SEC.
Because if you're talking about any other SEC fan base, I'd say,
like them.
Yeah, you don't like them. And, you know, you've got, like, people talking about what they do. I don't know. That's a great question. I really don't know. Because I just feel like, yes, Tennessee certainly at times, they have a lot of fun with it. They are in your face. But I feel like college baseball already, there's a certain level of in-your-faceness about it that's like not in Major League Baseball, right?
Agreed. I mean,
there's a lot of like, it's very borderline taunting the way teams celebrate, especially like home runs.
Which I think is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine. But it's like people, I feel like sometimes people are looking at Tennessee like they're completely out of line with everybody else. I'm like, I mean, I've seen Vanderbilt hit huge homers, and the celebrations at the plate are, I mean, it's celebrating with your teammates, but it's a little bit in your face.
Yeah.
Tennessee takes it another step. I don't know. I feel like, you know, it's like one of those things where, like, if you're a casual fan and your team plays them, you probably then don't like them. Because they probably beat you, and then they probably talk some trash. But I would hope that in general, the general college baseball fan would look at them and say, yeah, this is good. This is attention. They're fun. It's supposed to be fun. I like it.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. The SEC coaches meeting down there yesterday in Destin. We'll get to some news coming out of that and some more comments from Nick Saban as well. That's on the other side. 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. The NBA Finals are here, and so is your chance to score big on FanDuel Sportsbook. Throughout the NBA Finals, FanDuel is giving new customers $200 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Bet the money line, point spreads, player props, any way you want to take it. Plus, you can combine your bets for an even bigger payday with the same game parlay. I like the Celtics in this series. I think it's going to be a great series. I think it's going to go 7 games. I think Boston wins. Jason Tatum, I think, is going to be really good offensively. So take him over on points. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up with promo code ROB. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now's the perfect time to give it a shot, because the only thing sweeter than watching the finals is cashing in on all the action. Join today with promo code ROB and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We got Seth Emerson from The Athletic coming up at 7:30. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, going back to the question that you've thrown out there for Vanderbilt fans, would you rather Vandy make a run to Omaha and Tennessee win the title, or would you rather Vanderbilt be eliminated immediately and Tennessee not win the national title? Liam on the text line says, this one has me stumped, Joe. I don't even let my kids buy shirts with orange on them. Kidding, kind of. But I would still rather see Vandy in Omaha than see Tennessee lose. Besides, Vitello will either get hired away or flame out soon. It's coming from Liam on the text line.
I think the last sentence, Liam, may be a little bit wishful, which actually goes to Chris's text, who said, Joe, you keep saying if Tennessee can hang on to their coach, where would he actually go? There aren't any coaches really make the jump in MLB, and if they're – I'm sorry, Chris, you made me stumble. This is your fault, Chris. And if their program – okay, if they're a program, if their program is running at number one consistently, where would he go? Okay, I'll share the blame with you on that, Chris. Yeah, so – and I wrote a long message. I'll shorten it. I'm not saying that Tennessee's going to have trouble keeping him, but I think that threat really was a year ago.
Yep.
And I think it's past, and I think Danny White is going to do whatever he needs to do to keep Tony Vitello now. And I mean, from all accounts, that was his stance a year ago, but you just didn't know for sure. And last year, you know, talking to Vitello, I know I wrote a story on their facilities at one point. A lot of other people did stuff too. I think Vitello was kind of like, okay, show me. Let's see this. Let's see that we're going to make Lindsey Nelson Stadium one of the best stadiums. Of course, it's also investment in him, his salary, his staff, all that stuff. Danny White's going to keep him. I would be shocked now if another college baseball program took him away. He's built this thing, and they're going to be rolling like any of the top baseball programs in the country. I mean, like they're going to invest as such, and I would say we could all agree the coaching has made it so, right? So I'm not saying they're going to have trouble keeping him. I'm just saying when we talk about Tennessee's going to be great, I put in the caveat, yeah, if he's there, right? I mean, I'm just saying,
yeah,
if Vitello's there. I don't think there's a big threat for him to go. I'm trying to think of how many examples there are. I can't even think of, like, great college baseball coaches who went to Major League Baseball. You see it in basketball. You see it in football. You see it, you see it some in hockey. You definitely see, like, the really successful college hockey coach sometimes go the NHL route. Let me know out there if you can think of any. I can't. I'm sure there are examples.
Doesn't happen very often, though.
But, yeah, it's interesting how that doesn't happen very often. Now, there's a lot of, like for example, with Vanderbilt, there's a ton of Vanderbilt alums, former players and stuff who are in Major League Baseball at various levels, coaching, front office, stuff like that. So there's a lot of, you know, back and forth, and obviously a lot of players. But, yeah, the college coach doesn't seem to make the jump too much. So I don't know. Would Vitello at some day have an interest in that? He's a young guy. Why wouldn't a Major League Baseball, why wouldn't you be interested? I mean, maybe that stuff, you think that stuff doesn't play the same way in the majors, but if you're a good coach, you're a good coach, right?
You would think so.
But no. Anyway, Chris, I'm not suggesting that they're going to have trouble keeping it. I'm just saying I expect him to be great as long as he's there.
Joe, the SEC meetings down in Destin yesterday apparently were relatively civil. We've talked a lot about the Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban drama that's taken place. Jimbo not speaking yesterday, so I guess he said all he wants to say over the last couple weeks when you couldn't get Jimbo to shut up. Lane Kiffin did speak yesterday and said, basically talking about Saban and Fisher, quote, "Our group is more professional when they're in a room together than they are when they're on camera by themselves. People say things like texting that they don't in person," is coming from Lane Kiffin.
Bless your heart, Lane. That's outstanding.
Yeah, good stuff from Kiffin yesterday. Also, it looks like some actual news could be coming out of the SEC meetings down there. It looks like they're toying around with the idea of an 8-game model and a 9-game model down there as well, with the 9-game model presumably being with 3 permanent opponents and then kind of rotating after that, with obviously Texas and Oklahoma coming in. You're going to have to reconfigure the way that you operate as a conference with your schedule. And it looks like the 9-game model is being tossed around with 3 permanent opponents and then just kind of alternating from there. And I think divisions would be gone at that point as well.
Yep, the divisions are going. I think the divisions are going either way. Basically, Sankey confirmed that. I mean, he said, we're looking at the one division model. He said something like, you never know, but basically the divisions are gone. The question is the 9 or the 8. I'd say the two, well, maybe they're on the same side, but I'd say certainly for Vanderbilt, I would assume that Clark Lea is fighting for the 8, because, you know, if you're one of the weaker programs in the SEC, you don't really want to sign up for a game against like LSU or Florida when you could be playing, you know, Western Kentucky and trying to get yourself to bowl eligibility. So I think some of the weaker programs probably don't like that idea, but I'm guessing they're going to go to 9. Certainly for fans, I mean, it's better. It's more inventory of good games. It's, you know, then you're going to get into the whole, oh, this is the year you have 5 home. You know, the Big Ten has gone through this already. The uneven home game situation. And then who are Tennessee's 3
permanent?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got to be Alabama, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the rivalry is, it's not really much of a rivalry, but it's a traditional rivalry. Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably Vanderbilt and Alabama. Like, what about Florida? Is it going to be Florida? Is it going to be Kentucky? Like, how are they going to break down the permanent opponents?
I don't know.
That's going to be really interesting.
Well, and when you, because that's the thing. If you're a Tennessee fan, is that what you would root for? I mean, what you're going to do is you're going to look around and see some of the other programs in the league who have like 2 easy, quote unquote, easy opponents, and be like, okay, we got screwed. But would you not want to play Florida every year? Would you? Maybe not. Maybe you don't want to play Alabama every year anymore. I would get that. But if you're going to protect 3 opponents, why? I mean, that would be one, right?
Yeah,
one of the great rivalries in the league.
Well, it's interesting. Like, if you're Florida, like, I would assume Florida and Georgia is going to be one of those games that gets protected.
Yes.
Like, they're going to absolutely play each other every year.
If there was a one, like, if it was a one thing, then I think that would be the one.
Yeah.
And I think Tennessee's one would be Vanderbilt. I think it would, just because it's the in-state. But
Probably.
But
I don't know. I'm really, and who's going to be the permanent opponent of Texas and Oklahoma when they come in? Probably each other.
Each other, for sure.
And then, I guess, Arkansas thrown in for one of them at least.
Yeah, and I mean,
A&M.
I got right.
You think Texas, Texas A&M? That'd be fun.
I mean, you have to. I mean, that if you're going to do this, then that has to be part of it. And I'm sure Texas A&M is just furious, continues to be furious about everything. And they wouldn't want that, I guess, because they've tried to get away from Texas. But, yeah, got to go that way.
I'm interested to see what this looks like. You know, we talked about kind of the pod system. This is not really that. So, you know, I don't know if I necessarily had a problem with the pod system. But either way, like if you did it pod or not, if you're doing the three permanent opponents, that is an interesting way to go about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's
like, who's Missouri's opponent's going to be?
Maybe Kentucky?
Big rivalry with Missouri.
Well, yeah, maybe. Kentucky. But that's the thing, yeah. It's like you can't let a Missouri go like Kentucky, South Carolina, yeah. And Vandy, yeah. You know? Like, well, I think Missouri, possibly Arkansas.
Could be.
And then Arkansas, you know. So Texas should have Oklahoma, A&M, and Arkansas.
Yeah.
Oklahoma should have Texas, A&M, and Arkansas?
Maybe. Missouri? Yeah. Reignite those Big 12 days?
We didn't even talk about Mississippi State or Ole Miss.
Well, they're definitely going to have each other.
They're going to have each other, and then they'll probably have LSU, yeah. Right? To keep it regional, I guess, but... Yeah, I don't know. There's going to be complaining. That's one thing that I know for
sure.
Well,
the thing
is,
there's
going to be complaining.
Well, the interesting one to me is Auburn, because you already have rivalries every year with Alabama and Georgia. You want to keep those two right now? Yeah, sign me up for Alabama. I mean, obviously Alabama's going to be in there.
Yes.
Like, you want to sign up for Georgia right now too, but if you're Auburn? It's the oldest rivalry in the South. Yeah,
you have to. Yeah, I mean, so then if you're the SEC looking at that, then aren't you trying to give them a break with the third one?
You would think.
You know? So, all right, we'll throw you Kentucky, okay?
Wow.
Just kidding.
Yeah, go kidding, throw
Michelle
some shade. Vandy Joe and Vols Joe.
Wow. Both of them.
That's GB Joe. GB
Joe.
That's GB Joe. God, who would that be? That's the thing, is there's those two, and then there's no one else who's obvious. I mean, I guess give them one of the Mississippi schools.
I guess.
Just saying, here, take the pirate for a while. You know, maybe you can beat the pirate.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Seth Emerson of The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on some potentially interesting changes coming to the SEC. Get his thoughts on some more comments from Nick Saban yesterday as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Seth Emerson from The Athletic. Seth, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
How are you doing?
We're great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Seth, we were just talking about the different models that are out there for potentially scheduling for the SEC moving forward, the 8-game model and the 9-game model. It sounds like they're expecting a decision on that to come soon. What do you make of the idea of a 9-game model in the SEC with three kind of permanent opponents for each program?
I thought for a while that's what they were going to land at. It makes too much sense from a logistical standpoint. You get three games for every team where you preserve right. That should be enough to preserve all the necessary rivalries. It's not like the 8-game with one permanent thing where, for instance, Georgia would presumably keep Florida but then would lose Auburn as a permanent rival. The Tennessee-Alabama game would no longer be an annual game. But with the 3-6, as they call it, as we've been calling it, Tennessee-Alabama stays. Georgia-Auburn stays. You get some kind of games that are not annual games anymore. Like, for instance, Georgia-Tennessee would no longer be an annual game. But it would still be played twice every 4 years. And something, I might delve into this a little bit more with the next schedule story I write, but, and I'm sorry to go on a tangent here. I realize I'm doing that.
Good tangent.
Go right ahead.
For all that, like, people criticize the games against the guarantee games, you know, when they play Southwest Dakota Podunk State. Okay, like the attendance for those games, at least when I FOIA it from Georgia, is like the real actual butts in the seats, people who show up, is around on par for games against just kind of random regular SEC teams. Like, why does Georgia have to play Missouri every year? Why is Tennessee playing Missouri every year? Why does everybody in the East play Vanderbilt every year? God love Vanderbilt. But you need more diversity in scheduling. You need more diversity in everything. And so the idea that Tennessee will keep three traditional rivalries but then play everybody else at least twice every 4 years, it seems to make too much sense.
So it sounds like are you campaigning for some relegation here too, Seth? I mean, we have a new headline we can get out of this.
I don't know who doesn't like the idea of relegation in any sport, but
that's
not the American sport way.
That's right. So with Georgia, for example, then we were just going over this during the break. I mean, Auburn, Florida, and who's number three then?
I think if Georgia had its druthers, it would be Tennessee, but South Carolina needs Georgia. Georgia would be South Carolina's first choice, so it's going to end up being South Carolina.
Yeah, see, that's going to be fascinating once they get to that part of it, you know?
Right, and that's a little bit of a headache, but it's still better than the model of eight, keeping it at eight games and only having one, and then rotating the rest, which I know they are down to those two options, but I really think this is just my own speculation. I wonder if that model is in there as one of the final two choices is almost like a poison pill, as kind of a way to get everyone on board with 3-6, because the holdouts who want eight games, like, will look at that and go, I don't know about that. Yeah, we might as well just go to nine.
The programs you want to relegate, basically.
Good stuff.
Seth, I just want to ask you real quick, Greg Sankey, and I know there's a lot, we'll get into, you know, Jimbo and Nick and all that too, but Sankey did talk playoffs some yesterday. What's your read on, I know, you know, there's the SEC-only playoff and things like that that people are talking about, but what's your read right now on where this is going to end up?
You know, I've always thought they're going to still end up at 12. It's just that there's a lot of kind of hurt feelings and stuff that everyone needs to get past. And that started out as kind of like hurt feelings by Big Ten and Pac-12 people who weren't part of the original working group that put together the 12, and the perception that like ESPN and Disney was going to dominate it. So Fox probably got in there and said, hey, you know, and you've got to go back to the beginning here and remember that working group consisted of the SEC commissioner, the Big 12 commissioner, the Mountain West commissioner, and Notre Dame's athletic director. So they say that because there was transition going on in the other conferences. Well, they come out with that and the other conferences are like, hold on, we weren't part of this. And so they've essentially, you know, they have all these discussions and they, you know, it ends up not happening. Well, now the hurt feelings are on the Sankey side and, you know, a little bit the other members of the working group, even Bob Bowlesby, whose conference was subsequently raided by Greg Sankey. So I think everyone's just kind of got to take a chill pill for 6 months, a year, maybe something like that, and then come back around and say, hold on, this 12-team arrangement really is best for everybody because it gives everybody access. Like, honestly, the only conference that should be against that should be the SEC because they're dominating the 4-team setup. But if the SEC is driving the bus on going to 12, then it seems to me that they'll end up at 12.
Seth Emerson from The Athletic on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Seth, it's been pretty interesting to follow the Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher gate over the last couple of weeks here. Nick Saban saying yesterday, basically, quote, I didn't say anybody did anything wrong, coming from Nick Saban yesterday. What did you make of Saban's response to all of the Jimbo Fisher drama yesterday, and just what have you made of this whole saga as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like I'm not sure either of them have come out very well in it. Like Saban, I still subscribe to the theory that I know a lot of people think he's calculating in everything he does. I don't know that he meant to come out and say it the way he did, the comment to precipitate all this. I think he, didn't want to name Texas A&M, but he did. He blurted it out. He's human, believe it or not. Well, so he puts himself out there and it's kind of like, ooh, you went there. That's not, I wasn't too smart. And then Jimbo, the retaliation was a little bit over the top. And now it's all out there. And I don't know if Jimbo's going to talk today before he leaves. He didn't yesterday. He has typically, since he got in this conference, he may have only been here 1 year for Destin before because COVID hit. But I don't think he talked like in a pre-planned thing. I think he talked on his way out in 2019, so maybe he will again today. Like, you kind of grab him in the hallway rather than a thing that's set up in the main room. They do the coaches' interviews, the ones they did yesterday. But, like, if I were Jimbo, I would just get there and say, look, I said what I did. I was venting. I was angry. I'm not as angry now. And that's it. I'm not going to say anything more about it. We're good. As a way of kind of not backing down, but, like, not escalating it anymore. But I don't know if he's going to talk. I think he probably should. He's, if he doesn't talk now, he's going to get bombarded with it in Atlanta SEC Media Days.
I mean, if he doesn't talk, I think Lane Kiffin should have to talk again.
Yes,
I think,
just make him go back.
Yeah, let's just do that. Yeah. Hey, Seth.
Yeah, Lane, we could probably just grab him again in the hallway today. I mean, he talked yesterday, and it's, all the other coaches wanted to talk before they went into meetings, so they didn't have to take questions about what happened in meetings. Lane was like, "No, I'm good. I'll talk after meetings. I'll tell you everything that happened."
Oh man, Seth, I want to direct people to a piece you wrote. I guess it's been a little more than a week at The Athletic. Maybe you can set up real fast. It's a fascinating story about how the NCAA could have avoided so much trouble, but decided not to listen to Greg Shaheen. You explain the story real quickly for us. It's something everybody should read.
Greg Shaheen was a vice president at the NCAA, which would, there were a lot of vice presidents, but he was basically in charge of championships, so the NCAA tournament and all other things. And then he was also in charge of marketing and data, stuff like that. He worked there from 2003 to 2012. And he talked to me about how behind the scenes and in meetings with students, he was very active on their student-athlete committees, he was basically saying way back then that when it came to name, image, likeness, like, basically, NCAA had it wrong, and that, they were clinging too much to the amateurism ideal, and they needed to basically modernize their thinking, and that Miles Brand, the NCAA president at the time, actually was sympathetic to that and was ready to engage and move on that, and then he died. And then Mark Emmert came in, and the place changed since then, and basically, Shaheen was forced out in 2012, and since then, the NCAA just dug in, and then got its butt kicked all over the place in court and in federal legislation. And so everybody who's complaining about lack of regulation for NIL and no guardrails and there are no rules governing it, they have no one to blame but the NCAA and its member schools, because they were warned by people like Greg Shaheen, who was the one person on the inside who was doing the warning, and they didn't listen. And they kind of been hoisted on their own petard now.
Very, very interesting. Seth, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Seth Emerson from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant. Although today's version is the Rob Rant here on 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezvik, intern Handler here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Everything was going well on the show today, and now One Direction has invaded.
I had to troll you a little, Robbie.
Mm. Yeah, this is a, I guess it's appropriate music for the Rob Rant.
I guess
but
so.
Also makes me angry too, so.
All right.
It makes Michelle way too happy.
It does. It makes Michelle very happy. But,
yes, it does.
Shout out to One Direction, I suppose, who no longer exists, I don't think.
Yeah, I know. Very sad.
No, oh, they're done for good?
Yeah, but they all went into individual stars.
Oh, good for them.
Oh, goody.
Usually works out well for all involved. It's good stuff. All right, so sometimes in sports, especially college sports around here, we've talked about this on the show before, Joe. There's a certain segment of really SEC media that is quite fanboyish at times, and it rears its ugly head probably more often than it should around here. You see this more in college sports than you do in pro sports. You see some of it in pro sports, but a lot of times in college sports, you can find some real pom-pom waivers in the media. That's how I would describe it. And that's, I don't like that, but if that's the way you want to operate, then fine. That's the way you can operate. But there's a difference between pom-pom waving and being an absolute jerk. And someone on ESPN Arkansas Radio crossed that line. Derek Rusin, who has a show, I guess, every day from 3 to 7 on ESPN Arkansas, was discussing Razorbacks catcher Michael Turner and some comments that he made over the weekend. And here's what Derek Rusin had to say from ESPN Arkansas.
Right, I'll say it. And I wouldn't say this about a young player, but Michael Turner is a fifth-year graduate guy from Kent State. He's a stupid ass,
okay,
the catcher for the Arkansas Razorbacks. All right, listen to this guy. Listen to the question and the answer, okay? We've got the question from Tom. Listen to the answer. And notice how the answer has nothing to do with the question.
You guys haven't gone through a stretch like what you're in right now all year. Can you put your finger on what's happening?
Not really, man. We're just trying to keep the circle tight and cut out a lot of the outside noise. It's not always that easy to play here. There's a lot of people that are fans, good fans. Some aren't so great fans. And if you read Twitter after the game, it can get in your mind a little bit. So we're just trying to keep the circle tight and keep moving forward.
Okay, first of all, you're not a Razorback. You've been here once. You're a rental player, and you've sucked. So thanks for nothing, first of all. Secondly, as a rental player, you do not get to come in here and criticize this fan base, you stupid ass. Not a chance. The question was about what's wrong with the team, and you used the entire answer to take a swing at this fan base? You're a disgrace, Michael Turner. You're a disgrace. You should not get to wear that uniform again. What a loser. You know why they're losing? Because you're a loser, and you're the catcher. You're in charge of this whole thing on the infield. You're a loser and a disgrace, and you can't get out of this program soon enough.
So that was Derek Rusin from ESPN Arkansas yelling about Michael Turner, the catcher for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Good Lord.
I mean, it was just such a childish rant of, oh my goodness, you're not a true Razorback. Like, this fanboy media stuff is just ridiculous. All of a sudden, this guy is like the defender of the Arkansas program and the defender of the Arkansas fan base. Now, I'll say this. Should Michael Turner have gone down the road with a question that really had nothing to do about this in terms of, like, taking a shot maybe at the fan base? Probably not. Like, he probably should not have gone down that road. But the response there from this guy, just yell at a college kid about all this stuff, is just absurd. First off, I have no problem with criticism. Like, you can criticize players on the field. We do that all the time here on this show. When people say stupid stuff, you can criticize it, but there's a difference between being critical of someone and, like, personally, verbally assaulting someone on the air, and I just thought this was such a ridiculous display from Derek Rusin in ESPN Arkansas. Now, they have taken some action. He's off the air for the next little bit here. I imagine at some point he'll come back, but it looks like he's been suspended at ESPN Arkansas, so I guess shout out to them for doing something about it, but it was just an absurdly childish rant that this guy went on, and this is happening, not necessarily this specific scenario, but in SEC media, there's way too much of this fanboy crap going on, and this is really a pathetic look.
Yeah, I mean, loser is a, that's a strong word. You know? Loser is a, that's a big word. And I'd say you could maybe apply it to a professional who acts like that toward a college kid. I think you might qualify for that word.
Yeah.
If you act like that. That's the thing. You're right. Like there's some heavy fanboyishness, okay? I think in this league's got some,
there's some beauties.
But and so sometimes you'll get like that manifests itself in anger when things don't go well, but like this was way out of bounds. And yeah, I suppose, you know, the answer wasn't directly to the question, but actually maybe he was trying to say that like there's some guys who are struggling with that, you know, without coming out and just saying it. And, I don't know. But regardless, like if that's all you're reacting to, my God. Like how does he, you know, I guess I almost want to like listen to him for a week now to see what else.
Well, also like that you're not a real Razorback. You've only been here for a year.
Right.
Okay.
I think he wants to wear the uniform.
Oh yeah. I mean,
well, see, this gets into the whole. I was thinking about that too. Like one of the things I hate is like, well, you haven't played the game. You can't comment on it. But like this is one of the situations where it's like, dude, have you played a team sport ever before? Like, I mean, you know, like really. Yeah, it's pretty pathetic, man. That is pretty pathetic. Yeah, it's interesting as we move forward with this stuff too, because I've always thought there's a difference. There is a difference. There's a huge difference between, you know, college and pro, and criticizing. And I think it's another level when you go to high school. You know, there's really no like financial benefit at all to playing for a particular school. It's where you live. But with NIL, I do wonder if we will see more overt criticism of college athletes now.
And I think there's no question you will. And look,
especially when you know numbers, right? Like if Bryce Young had been bad last year, that number probably going to be thrown in his face.
Well, look, I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. Like I think if you're getting paid that well to play football in college, criticism comes with that, man.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference between criticism and just like personally attacking somebody like that. Like that's extremely unprofessional.
Like
whether it was a pro athlete, college athlete, whatever. Like that was way over the line.
Like stupid ass is just a bad choice of words. And but I'm more bothered by loser. Like where in this do you get off calling a kid a loser?
Yeah, it's really weird. But to your point, like I do think, you know, as more NIL deals come out, and especially as they become public knowledge, people absolutely are going to criticize these college athletes when performance does not match up or is not perceived to be matched up with how they're being compensated. That's absolutely going to be a thing.
So that will be probably more in like here, right, in places like this, maybe in the written word, whatever, in media.
Yep.
Now, I don't know that things can get any worse than they already are on social media for college athletes, right? I mean, it's already like
I think about Jared Garantano in that way a lot.
Exactly. Exactly. Like you're talking about horrific stuff aimed at someone's family and all that. I mean, that's already bad. And that's the thing. I mean, I suspect the kid's answer there had to do with something specific, right?
Probably so.
That'd be my guess. And I'm sure it's nasty. I mean, and that's where. So from that perspective, like it can't get worse. But yeah, in this space where, you know, people are supposed to be professional, I do think there will be more. And it's fine. I agree with you. It's fine, but don't be a jackass.
It's just unbelievable. Like I heard that over the weekend. I was like, good gracious. Like what possesses these people just lose their mind over college athletics like that? When it's your job to,
you should never wear the uniform again.
What? Lee, you should be banned from the state of Arkansas. Can't even walk foot in here.
God.
It's just ridiculous. But, man, what a rant that was. That was something. He got his money's worth. I'll give him that.
I mean, I'm trying to think of, for college athletes, I'm trying to think of how many times I've heard more personal attack.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm sure that there's some things I'm forgetting, but I don't know. That's
that is just mean. I hadn't heard that audio until I just edited it, and my jaw just.
Oh yeah.
It's just unhinged.
You can be critical and not mean.
Yeah.
Unhinged is probably a good word for it. That's pretty much what that was. This has been the Rob Rant here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We do our rants every morning at 7:45 here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teresa Walker of the Associated Press. We'll get her thoughts on the Titans and all things Tennessee sports. That's coming up on the other side. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 5:35 on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds face the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game.